Matthew 5:8, of course, is such a famous scripture because it's the Beatitudes. You know, the pure in heart shall see God. Well, obviously it means that he has to take impurities out of your heart to see God. You know, as a young pastor in the early days, now, you know, 38 years ago, and even before that, we had a Bible study at our home, which became our first church. People would come to me, you know, and say, I don't feel God, I don't do this, and I don't feel that. And it was like, oh my gosh, wow, I'm so sorry, you know, because we found God in our prayer closet, my wife and I did. And also in the vineyard worship, Ken Gullickson, who was the first person to ever plant vineyards before he gave it to John Wimber in 82, I think. And we would go in there in our first few months, we would just cry, you know. We begin to have the Holy Spirit begin to fill us, and are you ready for this? He began to ignite our spiritual senses, and that's what I'm teaching on again. 2 weeks ago, I taught on it last week. It was the ladies after they came back from this amazing women's conference with all the women there. But prior to that, if you remember, I was teaching, and at the end, I asked you to ask the Lord a question. I think maybe 15 or so of you got an answer, and they were all very unique and very personal, and if I can say it, very precious to me. And if you knew the people, like I knew almost all of them, it was like, Lord, that's exactly what you would say to that person. It's so amazing, you know. I know their personality, you know, and it was just so beautiful. But this here, one of our spiritual senses, obviously, is to be able to see God. That is to perceive him. I think it's blepo, B-L-E-P-O, the word. I looked it up 30 years ago. I'm pretty sure it hasn't changed, but the word's eternal, right? But my memory might not be. But it means to perceive, to know, to sense, you know, the pure in heart shall see God. Now, just think of this. If the church today, struggling as we have been with great trials and testings, living in L.A., all the different things that are going on in our nation to cause division, all that stuff, but what if we began to have the Lord purify our heart to take away all doubt, discouragement, defeat, depression, anxiety, you know, stinking thinking, whatever, you know, the things that defile us, Jesus said in Mark 7:20, these things defile a man. Then he named those things, you know, darkness and fear and unbelief and sexual sin, all that stuff. Well, what if he began to purify us so that we began to see God? Well, you know, Pastor, I'm not quite sure if the Lord really loves me. You know, I'm still struggling with being an orphan. I'm still struggling with, you know, what happened in my childhood, and which is all legitimate. And we've dealt with that for, you know, a long, long time, still dealing with it. We believe in inner healing, sanctification, deliverance, breaking curses, all this stuff. But what if the Holy Spirit started working on you in areas of doubt and unbelief, subtle areas in your mind that you're still connecting to this age, to partake of the spirit of this world, but now we're given a new spirit who comes within us, Romans 8, and we're able to cry out, Abba, Father, to him and feel connected to not just God, but to our blessed Heavenly Father who dwells in an approachable light. And as you begin to pray and focus on him, the light of the knowledge of the glory of God shines into your heart, according to 1 Corinthians 4:6. As you begin to seek the face of God, it may seem like nothing's happening, Pastor. I tried what you said. You continue to do it. Eventually, through the darkness and the hindrances in your heart, that the light of the knowledge of the glory of God will shine into your heart, begin to purify your heart in a way that you can perceive what God is doing in your life. You know, as a young pastor, I wasn't trained anywhere. And I hope it doesn't show. But anyway, you know, I never even heard of planning a church, you know. Totally. So 2 years after we were saved, honey, we're going to plant a church, you know. It's like, what? You know, I never even used the word pastor in my whole life. Never even thought of the word. And but anyway, as he began to deal with us, he began to show me things from my childhood. He began to open the eyes of my heart and begin to reveal to me my calling as a young boy. I remember it, you know, going to my great-grandmother's grave at Forest Lawn in Glendale. Then the Lord revealing himself to me on Highway 15, quite frankly, in the middle of the night when my dad was driving and so forth. I saw the Lord clearly, and he said that was a confirmation. So he began to open up the eyes of my heart so that I could come into an agreement with what my eternal purpose was. And that's what he wants to do with all of us. But he must purify your heart, or you will see through the cataracts of unresolved issues. You'll see your spouse that way, your friends, your boss that way. You'll see yourself that way. Or it can go the other direction. You're Mr. Perfect or Mrs. Perfect and everybody else is a jerk. It has all kinds of complex ways in which he darkens you so that you can't see God. because it's seeing the Lord's love for you. Remember last week when I asked you the question, Lord, what do you want to say to me? Well, I did it last week myself, and the first thing he said out of my to me personally last Saturday night when I was preparing, he says, I want you to know that I want you to see me smiling over you. And when he said that, it absolutely adjusted my soulical, unrenewed part enough to where it's like, wow, thank you very much. Instead of, yeah, but why has this happened in my life? You know, why is one of my best friends going through cancer of the brain? Stayed in his house 5 times, preached in his church. But I didn't. I just said, okay, fine. You're smiling over me? I accept it. I just accept it. We have, everybody says this if a grandparent, we have the most adorable little girl is our granddaughter. And she's getting cuter. And she was there with us. And talking and so forth. You know, we always say she's like 2 years, 7 months. We always say when they get to 3, that's when you want to freeze them. They're not babies and they're not little kids. They're just adorable. And all 3 of our kids were that way, and they now obviously have gone way beyond that age. But anyway, she was talking to us and grabbing Mammy Pam and telling her she loved us and lifts up her hands and said, I'm so happy to be here, things like that. And you just think to yourself, now, surely there's a good God. That has to ignite your theology. Number one problem with people around the world. They blame God for what sin, fallen man, and the devil is doing. There is no pain in heaven. Nobody's crying a tear and in pain. But it's the devil. And the Lord's got a bad rap, you know. But as you begin to see the Lord, last week when you, like about, I think we had about 15 prophecies. I asked people, I want to make sure, not hyping anything. We said, about 12, 15 prophecies, about the same later on. And what was so amazing is even in a church this size, I didn't have to say anything to anybody because I could taste it. It was pure. It was sweet. It was all within the sphere and influence of the fruit of the Spirit. Okay? So, blessed are those really who have their hearts become pure. It says, 2 Timothy 2, it says, fellowship with them who call upon the Lord out of a pure heart. Why? Because the heavens open much easier and prayers are answered much better with those who have a pure heart. Why? Because they can see God. They can perceive what God wants to say to them. So my heart, hopefully all of us, as we are walking more and more in the light. Now, one of the keys to having a pure heart is 1 John 1. John said, this is a message, I want to declare to you. God is light and in him is no darkness at all. He says, if we walk, John 1:7, if we walk in the light, that is, be vulnerable, teachable, correctable. Oh no, humble, in the light of God. God is light, in him is no darkness at all. So as he begins to penetrate my pride, especially subtle areas of stubbornness, that's what I found out in the early days, Rick. That's one of the big problems universally. It's one of the big problems with you. It's connected to fears from childhood. You know, it's like a 3-pronged thing against you. And he taught me that when I was getting weeds out of my front yard. Because there were 3 big stones right next to each other. He says, those are stones that represent your heart. These are the 3 things that are causing you problems. Stubbornness is one of them. Fears of childhood. Fears that happen in traumas in childhood. And I don't remember the other one. I think it was pride. And something like that. Anyway. So he began to speak to me about how to get rid of stony hearts. And so what I'd have to do is, when you lift up a stone, you have to get leverage on it. And many times for me, with dealing with childhood fears, it's like, look, just leave the boogeyman alone. You know, as long as he's not tormenting me. Because I saw a movie when I was a kid, I was afraid of darkness and all this and that. And we had a big window in my little bedroom, you know, and I thought for sure this giant's out there and he wants me, you know. I wish I would have told my parents, you know, but anyway, or told somebody to help me. But that thing perceived and it went down and created and spawned in other ways. But it's like, just don't deal with it, you know. And but it has to be exposed. Sometimes we've learned this in healing and deliverance, sanctification. Sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes we have to feel it for him to heal it. We have to feel it. We have to, as it were, the Holy Spirit takes us there and says, now I'm going to prepare you a table in the presence of your enemies. I'm going to destroy it. But first, look at it.
Yeah.
It's going to be defeated.
Yeah.
There's nothing more powerful than my love.
Yes.
Relax. Let me do it. But we're not going to pretend it ain't there. We're not going to go into denial. I'm going to attack it. And I'm going to destroy its power. Hold on tight. That's the God we deal with. So he's incredibly powerful. You know, he's coming. He wants to purify a people. Going to have to cast demons out in church again. Oh my God, what are we going to do about that? Well, it'll start happening whether we like it or not as the Holy Spirit comes in. We need to have people free. We need to have people, all of us, come into a place where our hearts can be purified. Because if I could see how much God loves me, if I can see how much God loves you, if I can see how much God loves my neighbor, I won't be having big problems that I have today. You know, I mean, I don't have big problems, but, you know, it would erase so many things in my life if I could see God and see as he sees. Now, when I see God, you see his face. When you see Jesus, you see his face, or you perceive him, or we perceive the through our feelings or our senses, we perceive the presence of the Holy Spirit, okay? Now, I didn't see the angels come in, but I knew they came right down through the hall. I could perceive it in my spirit. I knew they were picking up our praise and basically jamming Satan with it, you know, really, powers of darkness over this city. 40,000 of them, they're under the command of this angel named Charger. But there's another angel who's the command of many armies in this area. And I don't know, one of my sisters sees him regularly. I'll check with her later. But I know for sure what was going on with Charger. So here's the point, is that David was told not to go to war until he heard the sound of marching in the tops of the mulberry trees, right? Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, I could get out of this thing by, I could bind the devil in my name. Did he say that? No, he said, I could ask my Father for a whole bunch of angels and this deal would be over. But I'm not. I'm submitting myself to these powers of darkness and evil men and women who are asking for me to be crucified because they believe I blaspheme by saying I'm the Son of God. I'm going to go right through it. So God sent an angel to strengthen him. So angels are incredibly important to us, especially as we start to go forth and really God's declaring war. Some of these prophecies, I got to talk to my wife. It's like, okay, Pam, you know, with things that were said today and Lisa as well, things that were said today, not that we haven't done it before, but God is declaring war on the enemy. He's declaring war on the powers of darkness. And I've been amazed at how God's dealing even with North Korea, bringing it all out. Have you heard the prophecies about North Korea, that God's going to deal with that guy? But I've been wondering, how long are the terrorists going to be able to be used to wake up the church and wake up America, the schoolyard bully is getting emboldened. What are we going to do? Just, you know, he's going to have to be confronted. You know, first bind the strong man, the scripture says. So is God now going to, as it were, mobilize a praying church in small prayer meetings of 25, 50, 100, whatever? Bob Jones once told me, if you have 27 people in agreement, you have authority over the city. If you're in agreement with God, if you're aligned perfectly with God, you have more authority than anything going on in a city. I don't know if that includes a huge city like L.A., I should have asked him that. But I knew that it had we had great authority. How many, you know, maybe there's, who knows how many are here today, 120, whatever. I don't know. But if we're all in agreement about things and we begin to pray, it's enormous power. That's the point, see. So we must win the war in the heavenlies and begin to have the Holy Spirit open the heavens for people to hear God. That's the big thing. So anyway, I wanted you to see that. I want to go to 2 Peter 1:4. This is an incredible verse, but I'm talking today and I'll go into how you develop your spiritual gifts in a few minutes, I suppose. But this is one of the most amazing verses for me, anyway. Through these, talking about the promises of God, he has given us very great and precious promises so that through them we may what? Participate, right? Oh, I think, is it verse 3? Maybe it's verse 3. Is it easy to go up? Yeah, I think it's verse 3 that says his divine, sorry, it's 1:3. His divine power has granted us what? Everything we need for what? A godly life through what? Our knowledge of Him. Now see, this is the big thing. We can preach doctrines. I've used this many, many times. You know, you go into a restaurant and you see on the menu exactly what you want. And then, you know, you start to eat the menu. And someone would say, you don't eat the menu. You tell them what you want. And then you get to experience what's on the menu. You've heard me say it many times. Okay. Well, in many cases, we preach this doctrine, but we go out not partaking of everything we need. Why is that? One of the big issues is we do not have the spiritual senses to be able to enter in to the knowledge of Him that's appropriated for that personal need. Now, one of our sisters came up here, Kelda, and said, you know, the Lord showed me, you know, He wants me to step out of the boat and not be afraid, right? Right? And then others came up as well. And the Lord touched them in an area of need. At that point, they were partaking by revelation, personal revelation, not a doctrine, a doctrine that became real to them, right? And so that's what I'm saying. We have to have our spiritual senses exercised or develop in such a way, you know, a little baby when they're born, you know, they don't see very well, they don't hear very well, and so forth and so on. But over a period of time, it says that they're, you know, not says, we know that their little senses begin to work, their little brains start developing cognitively, getting concepts, some say to 3 to 5, some say not until 6, whatever, to think conceptually. But His divine power has given us everything we need. So as a pastor, when we say, well, you know, I'm going through this, I say, well, His divine power has given you everything you need. And they'd walk away saying, that guy doesn't care about me. So I wouldn't do that to people, but I would say, if you seek God, your spiritual senses gets ignited by the Word of God. John 6:63, Jesus said, my words are spirit and they are life. If you meditate upon the scripture, the spiritual power and life in that verse will become yours. In other words, the menu will be delivered, as it were. What you see on the menu, what you see there in that written word, will begin then to be experiential to you by revelation. It's given by the person of the Holy Spirit. It's not even given by me as a pastor or anybody else, apostles, prophets, pastors, whatever offices we may have. We declare the Word of God. We preach the Word of God. But it takes the Holy Spirit to make that thing real inside your heart according to the purity of your heart. That is to say, according to you, you know, do you have faith? He rebuked those guys after a long time. They're following Him. He says He rebuked them for their hardness of heart and unbelief. It said that their hearts got hard when the storms came, if you remember that. When trials come. We all go through this. But if I can get into a place where my heart begins to be purified and I'm thinking, I'm not afraid. I'm not going to allow this fear to come a part of me. I'm not going to allow this situation or the clutter of this world, the traffic of this world. I'm going to be still so that I can know that He's God. That's what we need. That's one of the ways your natural spiritual senses are developed. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life. Now, here's the key. Through our experiencing of Him. See, Jesus said, I'm the vine, you're the branch. I am the vine, you're the branch. Without me, you can do nothing. You can brush your teeth, do all the natural things you need to do with your natural senses. You need, bless God for your natural senses. You need them when you walk out the door. You need them when you walk across the street. You need them when you drive. Amen. Praise God for natural senses. But for you, here it comes, for you to live in the realm of the Spirit by which you are an actual legal citizens of another planet called heaven.
That's right.
Philippians 3:20. Your citizenship is in heaven, okay? Jesus goes on to say in John 3, we'll go there in a few minutes. But he says that it's all through the knowledge of Him. So we preachers can preach all day long. You're the righteousness of God in Christ. If you're abiding in Him, otherwise it's only a doctrine. Well, it's a truth, isn't it? Yes, but it must be a truth in the inward parts. It must be something that you're partaking of when you're angry. Are you partaking of it when you're angry so that you can cut down the anger and walk in forgiveness and tenderness of heart and all that stuff? That's when you know you're really living a righteous life. It's not by claiming the verse. That's just like saying, I want a cheeseburger, please, with double cheese. Great. When you get it, are you meditating on it? Are you partaking of it? Is it become spiritual? Is it produce life in you? Jesus said, this is eternal life. John 17:3. That they may know you, Greek. They may know you, Father, experientially. And me, Jesus Christ, yourself. This is eternal life. Eternal life is not just, well, we're born again. Eternal life is experiencing God. That's what we're talking about here. And the way that you experience God is not with your nose. It's not even with your hands. It's not even with your natural eyes. It can be. You can have open visions. I certainly believe in that. But I see God best when I close my eyes and focus on Him. When I get maybe some good, tender music, I don't do that like I used to in the early days, but I wait on the Lord until He begins to come upon me and I sense His presence, praying in tongues, other ways by which I ignite my spiritual senses. So here it is. There it is for you. I wanted you to see that. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 2:9 and 10, and then we'll go down to verse 12. 1 Corinthians 2:9, it's just 1 Corinthians 2:9. It says, eye has not seen nor has ear heard the things that God has prepared for them that love Him, but He's given them, but He gives them unto us by His Spirit. His Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. Okay, great. All right. What about Ephesians 1:3? Here it is. I'm going to preach it to you. And everybody said amen. That's the way it is, right? You're blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places. Everybody go, amen, brother. Well, when was the last time you went into the heavenly places and got one of them? That's what I want to know. Praise God for all these, you know, hyping things. You're blessed with all spiritual blessing. Amen, brother, amen. Are you living in the Spirit? Do you live in two realms at once? Do you know the difference? Do you know how to go there? Do you know how to mount up? Well, it's very clear in Scripture. Jesus said, Isaiah said, 40 verse 31, those who wait on the Lord shall mount up, shall ascend. That's what it really means. Those who wait on the Lord shall ascend. We'll go to John 3, as I said before, in a moment. Praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly places with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Well, you say we're in Christ in the heavenly places. Yes, but for you to experience that you are in Christ, your spiritual senses of your sight, you know, your feeling, your touch, and so forth, they must be developed to where you're abiding in a living relationship with Jesus. That's the whole point. So we're going there a little bit farther so that you can hopefully understand what I'm saying. Then we're going to tell you how you develop your spiritual senses. Let's go to Ephesians 1:17. And this is one of the great verses in Scripture. I always recommend you pray the prayer, four prayers of Paul, Ephesians 1, Ephesians 3. Philippians 1, Colossians 1, 9 and 11, Philippians 1, 9 and 11, which we may go there. But here it says, I am asking the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, that He may give you the Spirit. Oh my gosh, it's the Spirit. It's a spiritual thing, an invisible God, to give you the Spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know Him better. Now, the next verse, I like the old King James. It says that the eyes of your, you might have the eyes of your heart flooded with light. I pray that the eyes of your heart would be enlightened. Now, let me just say this. People assume these things are going on, and I'm sure that that's true. But if you want your spiritual senses of sight and inward knowing to increase, you must pray these verses. That's what Paul's saying. He says, I'm praying. In other words, he's saying, you guys, you know, don't really see too much. That's what he's saying. You know, God bless you. You're awesome. You're awesome. But within a few years, Jesus said, I'm going to turn your lights off. Jesus said, I'm going to turn your lights off. But we have the doctrines of Ephesians, the highlight of the New Testament. Yes, and those people were not doers of the word. And he said, unless you return to your first love, I'll turn your lights out. Is that what he said? Yeah, he did. He did say that, Revelation 2. So Paul's praying here. He's saying, look, I want your eyes. I'm asking the Father to enlighten your eyes, to enlighten the eyes of your heart in order that you may know Him, that you may know the hope or the purposes to which He's called you and the riches of His glorious inheritance in His holy people, the riches of His inheritance in the holy people. Well, what is it? People can, again, we preachers can preach it, but it must come to you personally by revelation. It must come to you personally by revelation. So how does this happen? Okay, let's go to John 3. I think I have 3:6-8, don't I? Anyway, in John 3:6-8, it says that flesh gives birth to flesh and spirit gives birth to spirit. When you are born from above by the person of the Holy Spirit, imparting life to your inner man, your spirit being, you are at that moment in contact with heaven, and the blessed Holy Spirit imparts to you eternal life in seed form. Okay? So here it says, flesh gives birth to flesh, but spirit gives birth to spirit. Watch this. You should not be surprised that I am saying you must be born again. It means actually born from above. Now watch this illustration. See, you travel more than you realize. Because we all, most of us, if we know Ephesians or Hebrews 4:16, let us come, not with boldness, but let us come confidently, able to speak freely, is what that Greek means. Let us come confidently, able to speak freely, after we've been roto-rooted through verse 12, especially the sword of the Spirit, judging the thoughts and intents of the heart. After you've gone through that, you've been sort of, you know, circumcised and you're tender. In his presence, I want you to be able to speak freely about your struggles, okay? But it says that we can come to the throne of grace. It is not here in L.A. It doesn't exist in L.A. It exists in the realm of the Spirit. But it also exists on another planet, called heaven. The throne of grace is up there. So you have to be able to travel. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear the sound of it. You cannot tell whether it comes from or where it's going. So is what? Not me, Pastor. I this is not real to me. So is what? So is what? Everyone? What do? They go in another realm. Is that true? So it would be great to know when I'm going there. You know? My wife and I are going to go away for a few days, we'll be back this weekend, but going away a few days, and we'll know when we get there. Okay, it's not a big problem. I know how to get there. It's great. It's like, this is great. But how do you know when you get there in the realm of the Spirit? Without spirit senses, you don't know. Your spiritual senses, you will not know. It's just like, well, I just take it by faith, Pastor. That's right. You do at that point. But then you have your spiritual senses. Now, I'll just tell you the way things work out for me many times. Because when I'm praying to God, I begin to experience now. 2 Corinthians 4:6. The light of the knowledge of the glory of God that shines in the face of Jesus Christ begins to shine into my heart. I'm looking into that verse, have been for many years. I look into other verses as well, that I am blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places. Holy Spirit, make this real to me. Help me understand. And so what he does is he starts renewing my mind and giving me God's attitudes and perceptions about situations in my life. So I have a little thing. It's like perceiving. Nope, this is wrong. Nope. Years ago, he used to tell me, nope, call that person back. You didn't do it right. Call him back. Hey, I'm sorry. I got some better insight. See what I mean? In other words, he's just renewing my mind, giving me things for people, for my own observation, renewing my mind, giving me the attitude of God about things. So it's a renewing of my mind. I have to be teachable, correctable, humble. For him to do this, I have to admit, oh, I'm wrong. Pastor Rick, he's wrong there, he's wrong. And I've done it for a long time, and I praise God. Again, as I've said many times, and not this is no laughter here, but if I don't get it from the Lord, I'll get it from my kids or my wife or those around me. And I praise God for it. I tell I'm correctable to anybody. You know, they come up, well, I heard, you know, you were ordained as a prophet or as an apostle, and I submit to you. I say, well, I submit to you. If you're real, if you're saying this for real, we must submit to one another, the Bible says, right? I don't like this worship stuff, you know. People, can I carry your bag? No, it's okay. It's no problem. I can carry it, you know. But and I appreciate people wanting to help. Don't get me wrong. But, you know, it's been abused, I think. You've been abused. And I'm not going to partake of that. But if somebody wants to help me, that's great, of course. Thank you very much. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. So you travel. So you travel when you pray. When you pray, there comes a place, if you pray long enough for your spirit to register the presence of the Holy Spirit, you will begin to perceive that you're in another dimension, and you'll find yourself being able to pray about things that have been very, very difficult because you're still, are you ready? Land bound. You're still bound by the land, by the territory here, under the powers of darkness. The Bible says that when we come to the Lord and we are in Christ, that we are seated far above principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And he's put all things beneath our feet. See, it says, that he is over all things for the church. So he's exalted far above these things. We are connected in him, and we come before him, and we begin to realize after all the dust, as it were, the darkness around our soul, our unrenewed mind that is earthbound, it begins to get renewed in the presence of the Lord, and you begin to think differently as you receive revelation. Let's go to Galatians 1:12, and then it's the same exact word in Revelation 1:1. In Revelation 1:12, Paul talks about having an apocalypse, an apocalyptic event, the same exact word that's used in Revelation 1:1, the revelation of Jesus Christ. Paul said he had it internally. I did not receive this. Oh, and it's 1:16. I did not receive this from any man. I was taught it rather by revelation of Jesus Christ. But it's Galatians, I think it's 1:16, isn't it? Where it says, if you can go there, it says that I had that he revealed his son in me, that I should proclaim him. So sorry. Yeah. So there it is. Thank you so much. So to reveal, to give a revelation of his son in me. To give a revelation of his son in me. Now, I've said this to you many times, but it happened to me years ago with a young man. I was before we were pastoring in 1976, before we started pastoring in early 79. I was a very new believer, and a guy was struggling with issues and stuff. And I went up to him, and I mean, I loved him. You've heard the story before, some of you, more than I've loved anybody in my life. It was for that moment, it seemed like, what the heck was this? And the Lord said, I told you in that day, John 14:20, in that day you will know that I'm in you. Oh my gosh, do I ever, you see? And that's the way it should be sometimes when you're praying. Whoa, I said that so clearly. I sometimes when I counsel people, I'd say, or talk to people, dang, I wish I would have recorded it because I've wanted to know that myself. You've all had those experiences, you know, like you pray and it's like, wow, that was awesome. What happened? You know, well, you became a vessel. That's what happened, you see. So it's the same thing here. Paul goes, I had an apocalypse of his son in me, that I might preach him. So Paul is preaching. Listen how Paul preached now. Listen how Paul preached. By an inward revelation of the Son of God. He was feeling the Lord's heart for that people. He was feeling what was going on with that individual or whatever. He knew what was going on in Ephesus. He said, you know, I'm there with you guys. He was able to travel in the spirit. Say, when you get together and bind up that guy, you know, that spirit and so forth, turn that one over to Satan. I'm there with you. That was in 1 Corinthians 5, you know. And so Paul, this is the kind of Christian God wants. We know that we're traveling. We know that we're seeing God. We're in union with others who see God. That union, Jesus said, whenever two or three are harmonizing together under the power of my divine influence, is what he says, I'm there. Now you have 10 people doing that, he's there. You have 50 people doing that, he's really there. You have a couple of hundred, you see. So it's a matter of us coming into unity with the Lord. That's why I'm saying we ask people to come in on time starting next week. Come in to meet the Lord. A lot of people want to fellowship. We want you to fellowship. We want you to be nice. We want to be a nice church. But it would be so wonderful if we came to seek God and present ourselves and say, we believe multitudes are going to hell. That's why I'm calling you to this. One of my biggest issues that I have to deal with, I can look at people, they're going to hell. Person's going to hell. They don't know they're going to hell, but they're going to hell. Relatives, friends, neighbors, I can tell. When they open their mouth, I can tell whether they have the Holy Spirit or not, they're going to hell. Really bothers me. That's why he wants an army to destroy powers of evil through intercessory prayer. We war not against flesh and blood. Can you imagine? That isn't what it says in the Greek. It says, we don't war merely with flesh and blood, but with principalities and powers. Can you imagine a man who was stoned, who everybody was following, a man who was crucified by men, to say we don't war against flesh and blood? You got to be kidding, you know. So, I mean, that verse is totally misconstrued. But it's, we do war against flesh and blood. We have people curse us. We've all had those things. You're at war with the spirits that are controlling them. But it's not, you can't say, I'm not at war with that person. They hate you. Sometimes they tell us, you know. But nevertheless, I'm not moved by that. I'm thinking, they're going to hell. I'll take their cursing. I'll take it. It's okay with me. Think I'm an idiot? It's okay. If you're going to hell, I'm not going to be offended. right? Because how lightweight of me, how wimpy of me to be offended by people who are blinded by the devil and are going to hell and possibly their children will follow them as well. I cannot be, poor little Pastor Rick, he's offended or he's hurt. You with me? No, we can't do that. So how do we then develop our spiritual senses? Well, I'll give you a few things. 1 Corinthians 14:4 and 14:14. If we pray in an unknown tongue, our spirit prays. That's what it says. And it says that our spirit is edified. Anyone who speaks in a tongue edifies what? Edifies what? Themselves. It's okay to talk. Edifies themselves. So when I pray in tongues, I'm building myself up. I'm building up what? My spirit. The part of me that's born again, you know, is our spirit. The Holy Spirit imparted eternal life into our spirit. So when I pray in tongues, when you pray in tongues, you are building up yourself, edifying your spirit. Verse 14, let's look at that, what Paul said. Our beloved Apostle Paul, for if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays. That's my point. So you can see that when we pray, that part of you that's born again, it gets to pray and release itself unto God. And it's far above what your beautiful minds can think or ask. Now unto him who was able to do it exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to his power that works within us. Well, part of that power, not all of it, but part of it is being able to pray in tongues. Because he said you'd receive power, dunamis, on the day of Pentecost. Don't leave the city, Luke 24, until you be endued with power from on high. They spoke in tongues. There's power in speaking in tongues, and it edifies and builds you up. Meditating on the holy word of God. And you meditate upon the word of God, be still and know that I am God. That's important, isn't it? Be still and know that I am God. And then your senses, as you're being still, begin to come alive. There'll be a wrestling because the, quote, natural human mind will be distracted. You'll think of all kinds of things you were supposed to do. I say, okay, just write it down. I'm focused, Lord. Something else comes. If it's really something you need to do, write it down. Fine. But get focused back on the Lord. Learn to have the discipline. He said, Paul said, well, in Hebrews 12:2, we believe Paul wrote Hebrews. And he said, fixing your eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. Okay, I don't know if I have enough faith, Lord. Do you have enough faith? I don't know, but I'm looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of my faith. What does that mean? I mean, when you're driving down the street, you can do it. When you're thinking about the situation on your job or what's difficult, Lord, I'm looking to you to author faith for me. I'm looking for you, Lord, to supply me with the faith that I need to get through this. Well, what are we doing? We're looking unto an invisible God. But as our hearts become more and more purified, we begin to have greater contact spiritually with our God who is a spirit. God is a spirit. Must worship him in spirit and truth. So speaking in tongues, meditating upon the word of God. I told you last week, Philippians 4, you know, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are pure. I would just say this, that because the Holy Spirit is holy, the more holy you are is dependent upon how much you yield to the fruit of the Spirit. That's the key. He gives us the Holy Spirit to be holy. Okay, I'm going to be holy. Need to be more holy. What are you going to do? You need to be submitting yourself to the tender impressions and impulses of the Holy Spirit. That's how you become holy. Well, I'm going to take holiness course. That's great. But if they don't teach you to yield yourself to the Holy Spirit, it's all in vain. If you get better by your own, you know, flesh and just fighting it out, it's just religion, you know. People can improve by trying, but we're talking about trusting. Religion's trying. Christianity is trusting. Religion's, I'm going to do my best. Hallelujah. I'm going to do it. No, I'm going to yield to the inward person of the Holy Spirit's, his impressions, to help me be kinder. So therefore, I must have my senses developed to know love. Tenderness of heart. Well, you know all the fruit, love, joy, peace, gentleness, kindness, meekness, faith, self-control. So I want to yield to that, you see. I want to be still and know that he's God and not panic. So, oh my gosh, you know, I'm so freaked out because James chapter 1 says the double-minded man will receive nothing from the Lord. But Pastor, I'm struggling with this. I say this to you. Tell Jesus you're struggling. He's incredibly merciful. He's incredibly merciful. And, you know, so, and I believe in, you know, praying for one another, but it's like, but you get to go directly to him, you know, as you perceive him, hearing what he's saying. What's the Holy Spirit saying to America today? The church seems to be rather confused, in my opinion, but I'll leave it at that for now. I would just say this, that the most important thing for us is that we need to know what the Lord's saying to us. In just a few moments, I'm going to have you pray, and I want you to ask the Lord what it is that he wants you to do from hearing this teaching, okay? So we'll take 1 minute to wait. I'll tell you what he said to me after a few of you speak, but it's very, these are very, you know, quick. What, you say this, say, Heavenly Father, what are you saying to me concerning this teaching today? We'll just wait about, you know, half a minute here. We're going to take communion in just a moment. In fact, go ahead and pass out communion now. We'll wait. And just before we take communion, we'll hear what the Lord has said to a few people today. Yeah.
That we need him to reveal his son in us.
Thank you. We'll take it. Sounds biblical to me. He did it to Paul. Others of you, if you have it, go ahead.
It is
completely new today. Completely new. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Throw off your doubts about sanctification and trust me.
Throw out your doubts about sanctification and trust me. Oh, in other words, how do you think you can get it separate from me, right? Yeah, Jesus. Oh, the best prayer in the whole world is help, you know, and wait there long enough to get it. Can't hear it.
Trust me and relax.
Trust me and relax. Amen. That's a big one.
I love you and I want to serve you.
Oh, yes.
Wow.
Lamb of God.
Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might.
Amen.
Don't worry about your mistakes. I'm bigger than your mistakes.
She said, don't worry about your mistakes. I'm bigger than your mistakes. Don't let worry rip you off. Amen.
And we can, if we will do what you've been preaching for us, yield.
Thank
Stop
you.
Fearing. Allow his love to cast out all fear. And start moving forward towards him. When I was a kid, I ran three-legged races all the time. I loved running three-legged races. And while we were preaching, me and my friend Claire beat everyone. We were brilliant at it. We could sprint in a three-legged race. And I kept seeing that while you were preaching.
Yeah.
He says, be yoked together with me. I'm like, I'm going to tie right. myself to you, Jesus, and we're going to run together.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Wow.
You people are supernatural. You know that. No, really.
If you are not hearing, it's because you're hearing from your natural.
Ooh.
Begin to hear in what the Spirit is saying in your spirit.
Mm.
Amen. The Lord says, catch the wave. He says, spread your wings. He says, catch my strength. Let it lift you. Let it carry you. Ride my wave, the Lord says.
Amen. One or two more? Repeat the first part again.
Make Jesus your only treasure.
Oh.
That's where your heart
will be. Ooh, that's what I should have preached today.
Yeah.
That says it all, my sister Lynn.
Yeah.
Say it one more time out loud.
Make Jesus your only treasure, because that's where your heart will be.
Oh my gosh, I love that.
Yeah.
Woohoo. Amen.
Wow.
Yahoo Lord, let's stand up and receive this.
Thank you.
How we give the Holy Lamb of God praise today.
Oh,
Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you for dying on the cross for us, that we're your children, and that we get to partake of you. That's one of the things I was going to teach on today about partaking of him. This is what we do. I'll tell you what, when Peter and the rest of them there were with him on the night before, when he said, take, this is my body.
Yes.
Drink this. It's the cup of my blood for the remission of sins. It was no metaphor. Hallelujah. Lord, we want to partake of this little piece of bread here and give you praise for dying on the cross for us. Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Receive it.
Thank you.
I want to live worthy of you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for these precious ones today. I thank you for the blood of the new covenant. We partake of it to honor your name. Invade us and invade our city. In Jesus' name, amen.